Welcome to Christian Warrior Talk, proudly presented by Christian Warrior Mission. Hosted by former Navy SEAL, SWAT officer, and atheist, now a warrior for Jesus Christ, Pastor Jason Perry. This is more than just a podcast. It's a spiritual vanguard where we intentionally set aside the hustle of our daily lives to come together. We gather to study the Bible, share in heartfelt prayer, and engage in meaningful discussions about all things Christian, homesteading, prepping, and self-defense. Lock shields with us, and together we will hold the line. And now, let's meet your host, Pastor Jason Perry.
All right, happy Lord's Day to you, and welcome to Christian Warrior Mission. I hope you guys had an amazing week post-Easter weekend. I know that this week has brought with it so many blessings and many challenges for us this week. But if you remember, we were right smack in the middle of James, right before the Palm Sunday Easter break. And today we're back in one of my favorite books in the Bible. Is James, I call him a doer. He's not a talker, he's a doer. Now, he's got one of the shortest books in the Bible. He's only got five chapters, so we've only got one more in there. But he has some of the most impactful words we have, and we'll get into that. I hope you guys have been catching us online. We have had incredible traction on Twitter, and we're so thankful for that. As well on Rumble, we are growing on there by leaps and bounds. So it's amazing when we get off the devil's platforms of Facebook and YouTube and everybody who hates us, we tend to, you know, when we're not being squashed, we tend to, you know, people tend to hear us and, you know, and they like what we're saying and they're being convicted by what God is saying. So that's all good things. Some announcements for today. We still have eggs, but our egg production is about to drop. So we'll let you know on that. We still have milk or herd shares for the raw milk, if you want it. I know Lauren recently had another one person come on for that. We have butter, raw butter, by whether cultured or regular, on by order, and then ice cream and custard by order. We're coming into summer, and you know this place is about to be like Ben and Jerry's if it was like last year. So, except not satanic. So, we have no more lard. We still have a little sausage. And that might change soon. We are in the process of trying to reorganize like our five or six freezers, whatever we have in this house, and to make room to see if we can finally process my boy Bacon, who I was back there rubbing his back and belly yesterday. I'm going to be sad to process him, but I can't afford an 800-pound pig pet. So, and he's got a lot of lard on him. We could cook probably for years just off of him alone. So, again, that. Some other news on the farm. Peg did have her babies. 11 were born. And up until yesterday, we had 11, but I had to put one down yesterday. What so happens so frequently with pigs, if you don't, I don't really like the farrowing pens. It kind of pins the mom to the ground. They have no comfort. It's kind of miserable. Instead, we let Peg make her own natural farrow, which she's done great. But I think throughout the movement around, she popped one yesterday. And what happens is they sit on them or they step on them and it injures them terribly. So I had to put one down yesterday, which is always very sad. There are days that it's amazing. And coming out there to see 11 new fresh baby piglets out there is always that one of the happiest days on the farm, just like when a cow is born or chickens hatch or whatever should be the case. Those are always glorious days on the homestead. And the days you have to kill animals are always the saddest for me, particularly when it's one that's not going to serve any purpose, right? Meaning that we can't really do anything with that piglet. So it was 3 days old. So, you know, just a waste. But that's why they have so many, right? God knows better. And he's not like us where we typically have one kid. They have 8 to 16 or 20 sometimes, 20 plus sometimes. So we're blessed, but we're sad we're down to 10. And all 10 of those are already sold. We had an order for 12, and now we're down to 10. But the other good news is that Oink has a litter coming in the next 2 weeks. So they are really close to one another. She's starting to bag up with milk, and we expect her in the next 2 weeks. So we're going to have, close to 20 little piglets running around this place when all is said and done, which is pretty darn cute. You can say pigs are ugly when they get older. I don't think they are. I think they're really cool animals. I really developed a lot of respect for them that I never understood when I was eating my sausage and bacon in the morning. They're incredibly robust, incredibly hardy, intelligent, and funny. I mean, we probably are more like them than anything else. On a hot day, they're laying in the pool. Literally laying in the mud. I have a picture of a pig where I was playing dead pig or sleeping pig. And it's one of our pigs. It was Boink, I think. It was lying in the water, both his ears out, but still as can be. And half of it was underwater in the mud and everything. And I didn't know. But then I came up on close, and of course, he was just a sleeping pig. But they're out there in the mud having a great time. They're always foraging for food. And they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun. And they're really tasty. So that's always good. I mean, we have not had bacon in like a week and a half. And we're going to have to get on Lauren after this to start doing our other, curing our last few bacons. That's curing is the pain in the butt part, right? It's you got to season it and got to get the right ingredients to cure it. I don't know. That's not my world. And then it sits and sits. And you just want it to be bacon, but it's not bacon yet. It's not there. So that whole patience thing that we were praying on this morning, that's part of it. So I know that's more of the farm than you ever wanted to hear, but it's a big part of what we do. We're also hoping my mom is going to Canada for some business, for some personal business. And when she comes back, we're going to start our garden, which Dexter helped us till up and all that. And then I would like to do some corn. Now, I've never done corn. Started doing some research on corn, on how wide they're supposed to be apart and all this stuff. It's never simple, right? It's never simple. Like I've read today, you're supposed to put drip tape down. And if you put drip tape down, it's tape that you connect to a water source and it just ekes out water so you don't have to spray them. I don't know. We'll see. I'll talk to Dexter. I'm sure he's grown more corn than I have, but I'm hoping to grow enough, not for us to eat. We're like the people I don't care about. Corn here on the farm is the one thing that feeds every animal we have here. Cows will eat corn. Chickens will eat corn. Turkeys will eat corn. Pigs will eat corn. So if you're going to grow one thing, grow the universal feed group, right? So I was doing potatoes because I can feed potatoes to the pigs and this. And we love potatoes, and it's a great prepper food. But corn is pretty much, it makes popcorn. It doesn't like Lauren's homemade popcorn, right? So, again, so that's what we do. And we get a corn crib. The person who owned this before had a corn crib over there, which is where you put it to dry out, where animals can't get to it. So, we're pretty much set up for it. I just don't know how much, like, an acre of corn. What does an acre of corn grow for food? I don't know. Is that enough for like three bags of 50? If it's only enough for like three bags of corn feed, well, that's only $33. It's not really all that much. So again, we'll see. Live and learn, right? Live and learn. So, all right. So just a reminder, the Christian Warrior Talk is still on from Monday through Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. And we've been getting a lot of people tuning into that, and we're so blessed with that. That's where we start. With a humble and grateful heart aligned unto the Lord, we start with a prayer to check all of our pity party. We all got reasons to complain. We all got reasons to gripe. And if you ask, I would say Americans on a whole are professional complainers. Never mind that we are the most prosperous, comfortable nation in the history of the world, we find a way to complain all day long, everywhere. Now, soldiers and cops and first responders are the best complainers in the world. They professionalize it, but the rest of us complain far too much. So we come in there, we check our gripes and our complaining at the door, and we just get grateful. We get grateful for all the blessings we have, which are so numerous. What do you think about it? 30 trillion cells, that's how many cells are in our body. 30 trillion cells had to work near perfectly for you to even be here today. And someone had to design those cells perfectly. You think 30 trillion cells work together on their own without a designer? They just all work perfectly? No, no, right? Then you have lack of catastrophe in your life. The fact that for most of us today, we woke up and a loved one did not die in a horrible car wreck because someone was texting and crossed over the line or a drunk driver. Now, some did go through that. But if you didn't, you're blessed, right? You're blessed. You know, every day people, houses are consumed in fires, tornadoes. There was just a big tsunami in Japan. You're blessed. You're blessed. So God has his divine grace, right? Which is the grace that we have where he chose us before we chose him back in the beginning of time itself and wrote our name into the book of life. And that means he chose us, that we were going to follow him, and he called us to him, and that's the best blessing you could ever have. But there's also common grace that everyone has. Now, common grace is sunrise and sunsets, right? Whether you're the most evil person in the world or not, you can look and see a sunrise and it's a blessing. Like ocean, rivers, streams, lakes, mountains, right? These are all amazing blessings. A cool breeze on a hot day, warm fire on a cold night. These are common grace. God didn't have to make it this way. He could have said, suffer, but he didn't. Right? He didn't. I smell a honeysuckle in my backyard. Oh, I'll never forget, I went to Orlando for work, and all I could smell was tailpipes and exhaust. The first thing I did was get home and go down my road that borders my property, that runs the whole length of my property, and it's covered with honeysuckle. And that smell to me is home. Smell of my wife's hair. Like every time she leaves the bed, I get her pillow and I squeeze up on it because it smells like her, right? Smell of good food, the taste of good food. Food didn't have to taste good, guys. God could have made it suck. We'd all be skinnier. That's a good thing, right? But God made food taste good. By accident? No. By his common grace, right? So God does so love the world, even the sin and everything else. He still gave us these blessings. Smell of flowers, the sound of children's laughter. Right? The touch of a loved one. Those of you who love your animals, loyalty of your dogs, and the comfort your cat provides, those are common grace. But here is also common grace. God provided an environment and these brains for us to learn from history, right? We recorded history. Why? Because terrible, awful things happened, and our brains are possible to look at squiggly lines on a page as coherent thoughts to learn from the past, so we don't repeat it. That's why God gave us Holy Scripture, so Israel would stop screwing up, right? It was a repeating cycle. They'd be in trouble. God would save them. Life would be good. They turn away from him. They get back in trouble. God would save them. Life will get good and repeat. So he gave them his holy text, which is the Old Testament, which is why those stories are recorded, to learn from, so that we don't follow the same mistakes. Unfortunately, we are. But modern medicine is God's common grace. If he didn't give us the brains, if he didn't give us the peace to be able to do this, and even the blessings, there are blessings in things as awful as war. In war, medicine and our ability to learn how to heal accelerates. And I don't know how many hundreds or thousands percent more, because people are learning how to, at a more rapid pace, how to save lives, right? And to counter weapons as they evolve and so on and so forth. So, you know, if there's anything that can be said of the progress that was made in medicine, often because of war. And so again, even in the darkest of things, there are blessings. So those are all of God's, not all of them, but just some examples of God's common grace. Today, like I said, we are going to be in James 4, but let me go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day, this Lord's Day, and we thank you for the victory your Son won on the cross and in the empty tomb. Lord, we are so blessed. We are so alive. We're so grateful. Lord, today and every Sunday, help us set our griping aside, our sore bones, our sore muscles, our cancers, everything that we have. Let's check it at the door. Think of all the blessings we had, how many days we had from birth to now. Lord, convict us of how many days we've had. How many of them have we served you? How many of those days have we wasted serving ourselves? Lord, help us to pour into others and to share your good news. Help us to be lights in the world for everyone else, Lord. You know that many of us are slow of speech and of thought and aren't the prettiest prayers, and you know, and others are so gifted in prayer, but good news is you gave us a model to pray in your holy text when you said, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Christian Warrior Talk is sponsored by Trident Shield, your trusted ally in violence preparedness. Trident Shield safeguards your loved ones with expert training and consulting. Trident Shield, defending faith through preparedness, because together we save lives.
All right, so today, James 4, and I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. Now, I want you to think of common grace on the good and the evil, and then we have our divine grace. Now, too many of us focus on the temporary grace, which is worldliness. We get lost in our possessions. We get lost in our stuff. We get lost in our comforts. We want to find value in things and all these other things. And it's a blessing, but it's not the blessing. The blessing is eternity with God and our loved ones. That is the true blessing. It's when we get out of alignment and we start worshiping the common grace, which is the creation, instead of the creator and the relationship and the true blessing with him, where we get into trouble. And that's what James is going to tackle here in the first part of his chapter 4. So, So warring against worldliness. Those are the uninspired words that try to tell you what this is going to be about. Now let's get into God's word. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Okay, so what he's saying is that fights are caused by our worshiping of things other than the Lord, because the Lord tells us to turn the other cheek. Right? Which is not defend yourself. It just means if you're insulted, it doesn't matter. Turn the other cheek, forgive. If you notice, and again, this is one of the most misquoted things, it didn't say if you get stabbed once, let him stab you again. That's nowhere in the Bible. Right, but what causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not that your passions are at war with you? And I'm going to finish that, go down a little bit further. You desire and do not have, so you murder. Covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Passions, worldly things.
Worldly things.
You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it means no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Stop there. Now, there's a lot, so much to unpack in there. So again, if you notice, the first chunk of this is all about them fighting because they all, what happens when somebody gets something that we don't? We didn't earn it, but somebody else does. We get jealous. We get jealous, and why are they? Why do they have this and I don't? Well, you didn't earn it, right? Or, you know, they've been blessed in other ways than you have. You know, I remember a horrible time that I had where one of my family members, his son didn't have autism and mine did. I was so jealous of him because his son was playing hockey and sports and had a normal thing and mine didn't. Well, he died of cancer. Very young, and now his son doesn't have that father. So how out of line was I? And how out of line was I? But we all covet and we all go after things that we shouldn't. We should all be grateful for what we have and work to acquire more and to provide, because remember, there's a fine line. Like, the Bible doesn't preach poverty. One of the primary teachings of the Bible is he who cannot provide for his family is worse than an infidel. Let me break that down. If you can't provide for your family and you're a Christian, you are worse than somebody who does not believe in God. Where do people go that don't believe in God? Hell. You are worse than them if you do not provide for your family. So again, sometimes people with bad intentions will read James as we go further on. And when he's cussing out the rich in there and think, we're not meant to be successful. That's not true. We all have war chests that we are blessed with, which is how much we earn and how much some of us blow our finances, right? Some of us make very bad, ungodly decisions. And we have a price to pay. That it's not God saying that money is bad. It's people who make it an idol. It's people who have enough still choose to spend time away from their family and spend it on Ferraris and excess instead of helping, changing lives with it in ways that would glorify God. That is what James talks about. Now, what he's talking also about here when he says, you adulterous people, that you can't be friends with the world. If you haven't figured this out today, maybe maybe when I grew up, you might have been able to get away with being a Christian and not be persecuted by the world. If you're a Christian now who teaches that life is life, right from conception, and to kill the unborn is murder. You say that, you're a domestic terrorist to our government. Okay? You're a religious zealot and a terrorist to our government. If you say There are two genders, and marriage is between one man and one woman. You're now saying hate speech, according to our government. In Canada, you cannot preach that. It is a crime. Canada, our neighbors to the north, cannot preach parts of the Bible. It's a crime to preach. It's hate speech and prosecutable in Canada. You cannot be 100% for God and be a friend of the world, because guess what? Forces of darkness, when you're a bright light and you burn bright, when you declare, I am God's and I serve God, a couple things are going to happen. Other people are going to notice. Hi, buddy. He can't see me. He's over there facing the wrong way. But two things are going to happen. Other people are going to be inspired by your light, and they're going to come to you and be like, man, you have a peace about you. You have a joy, not silly, I'm getting tanked, selfish joy, but you have a peace and a joy because you're serving. You're pouring into other people. When you pour into other people, you're a part of something greater that fills your soul. I've ever done for myself is ashes. I don't remember it. I don't care about it. It was destructive. Everything I've done and sacrificed to something else, that's been the true value of my life. And it's the same with all of us. Everything selfish you do, you go down, sink a little bit further into hell. Everything of sacrifice and service you do, rise a little bit more. Now, I'm not preaching works. People who are Christian will be doing service because they are saved, not saved because they are in service. Selfish people who are not saved, or who are even think they are and they're not, will constantly serve self and sink. Now, when it says here, you covet and cannot obtain. Oh, sorry. No, let's go even before that. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. Okay, now, there is split opinions on this in the church and scholars. Some believe that there was actually murder going on in the church when people were going on. Others, because the zealots, who were an Israeli religious group that did assassinations, political and religious assassinations. Simon the Zealot was a reformed one of those. If you've seen The Chosen, you probably have a little better understanding of it all. Others say that James is talking about, James is the brother of Jesus. So he's talking about Jesus. He who hates has already committed murder. So if we hate something, we've already committed murder, because if we had the chance, we would. Your intent would be to murder if you can get away with it. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Let's break down 3 and 4. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. This is, God, I really want a Corvette. Why are you not answering my prayers? What a waste, a selfish, selfish waste of the creator of the universe's time. I want stuff instead of, please cure cancer from this child. Can you see the difference in that? One is for your comfort, pleasure, and your vanity, your sin. One is asking to glorify your sin. The other is spending your time interceding and fighting for someone else. Realize that God answers one of those prayers, and it's not always. But if you're spending your whole time praying about yourself, you're doing it wrong. Yes, you should pray for yourself. Pray to be closer to God. Pray for more faith. Pray for him to give you the strength to walk this hard path, the narrow path. Pray for it all. Because it's so easy to take the off-ramp. So easy to get off the path and get on the superhighway to hell. Side note, I remember one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen that let me know that this world is the enemy of God. There's a big European thing where all these musicians, they got, I don't know, thousands of musicians together. maybe tens of thousands. I don't know. They filled the stadium, and they had hundreds of drummers over here in perfect sync, and hundreds of electric guitars over here, and hundreds of this bass guitars over here. And this whole stadium sang in unison. And what do you think the song they sang was? Highway to Hell. Highway to Hell by AC/DC. I can't even fathom that now as a Christian. How somebody didn't say, are you out of your mind? You have this moment where you have all these talented, gifted musicians. And you chose to glorify the devil with that time? They declared their allegiance right there. And if you don't remember the words to that song, no stoplights, speed limits, nobody's going to slow me down. I can't remember a lot of it, but I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. I don't think they're going to find the promised land to be hell. That's the great deception. That's the serpent in the garden telling Eve that God is trying to rob them of an experience. Played forward 2,000 years. Hell is where all the fun people are going to be. That's where you want to be. You don't want to be up in the clouds playing a harp. That's how modern society says, you know, we're going to be in diapers playing on a harp, right? That's heaven. No, that's not what heaven is.
I hope.
And he calls them an adulterous people, but aren't we?
I hope.
Aren't we? Isn't our nation? Now, when he talks here at the end, it gets really hardcore, right? And it's really striking. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Pursue God. I was feeling different from God, and my wife, who I would want to take a moment to recognize right now. If you don't have a spouse that'll fight for you, you do not know what love is.
I
was feeling different, separate from God. I was struggling, you know, not with sin patterns or anything, whatever. I'm just feeling different, separated from God, struggling in my faith, in my walk. And my wife literally almost flogged me up the hill to go spend time at the cross. There was no option. Get. Go. Nope. Get. Go. Stop delaying. Stop procrastinating. Go. 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 If she could have kicked me out the door, she would have kicked me out the door to go spend time with my Creator. That time was not spent in vain. Did I go up there and boom, revelation? No, I went up there. I spent the time and he honored it in the morning, the following morning.
I
immediately felt that connection again to the Holy Spirit. If you ever felt it, it's this warmth. It's this feeling of I am right where I'm supposed to be. I am serving him. I am doing what I am supposed to be doing for God and not myself. And when that happens, you're blessed and you want to hold on to it and bear hug it. But just like the Israelites, just like us, wander out of it. We wander away. We take the off ramp. We get comfortable and selfish. I can't have more, 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 more.
I hope.
You're lucky, luck is not the word. If you're blessed, you get people in your life that'll fight for you. And that's what I want this church to be. I want this church to be that we love you so much that we'll fight you for you. If you're making mistakes, we'll knock on your door. We'll find you.
You
can't be doing this to yourself, man. Woman. You're a son of the living God. Act like it. So what he's talking about here now is, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Since we all do this stuff, since we're all jealous, since we all do this, he's saying, confess. Go to God. Repent. And you'll be good. Now, those of us who are walking the Christian life, what is he talking about here? Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. What he's talking about is confessing your sins and getting right with the Lord and repenting for what you've done wrong with tears and mourning so that you're not doing that when God comes to judge and you're being, your tears and mourning are because of the judgment for what you did. You are self-repenting, self-reporting. You are feeling and turning away from your sinful self. And God will exalt you. He's got to come down and discipline you. That discipline is final. Now, here is the big challenge. James, remember, is the one who talks about the tongue almost more than anyone else. How evil our tongue is and what we speak. So, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. What he's talking about there, many believe, is love your neighbor as yourself, right? Love your neighbor as yourself, not to speak evil of your neighbor. There is only one lawgiver and one judge. He was able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, this gets taken out of context, and I got to clean up on aisle 12 right here. We are called to judge everything. But there is judging whether something's good and right, and then there's passing judgment, right? So I can come to the street, look, and see any cars, and I have to make a judgment. Is it safe to go across the street? I make that judgment. I cross the street. Someone on the street can come up and ask me if I want some drugs. I have to make a judgment. Do I want some drugs? What is good? What is evil? We're called to judge everything, whether it's godly, to God's standard, or godless, which is of the world and evil. What we do not say is you're going to hell. You don't have that authority. Only Jesus has that authority. Now, we may believe they're going to hell. We may believe they're going to hell, but we have no idea. They could be living the most sinful life and then tomorrow be saved. Their lifestyle is leading them to hell, and we are called to speak truth to them when the opportunity arises. But we don't say, damn you to hell. Only God does that. God does that. We know we're not to gossip. We are to build up or confront. We either take it to their face or we let it go. There is no in between. Now, this is a confusing little bit here, and then I'm still doing them right. Okay. Boasting about tomorrow. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him and his sin. Now, the most condemning statement there is verse 17. We'll talk about that. That's could be 10 sermons in itself. Boasting about tomorrow. Basically, this is all teaching about to bring God into your plans. If you're planning, which I am guilty of, because I was saved later in life, I have a whole bad habit I have to break of making plans without bringing God into the center of them. But there are some people who say this phrase, the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, to the point of insanity. Okay, this is one teaching in the Bible. You don't see Paul saying this all the time. You don't see Peter saying this all the time. You don't see John saying this all the time. You don't see anyone else but James really saying this. Okay, it is sound advice. Bring God into it. And if he wills, it'll bless. You know, so you say you're making some great plans. Let's say my son, we pray my son is a doctor, whatever. can't think of anything less I'd rather him to be than a doctor, but we'll say he's going to be a pastor, right? He's going to be a great man of God if the Lord wills. I can't make him that. We're only just now getting to see who he is. Everyone's soul is so different. You take my three children, and if you were just to look at their souls, they're not even related. They're nothing alike. B is her own amazing, beautiful child. So is Yaya and now Magnus. All very different children from the same two parents. Proof that God puts different souls in all of us. So again, bring the Lord into your plans. Now here is the hardest thing to do, the thing we all need to repent of most. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it for him is sin. How many times have we known the right thing to do? We didn't do it. Have we repented of that? How many times were the people you should have helped? A kind word you should have spoken, and you didn't. That's a sin before God because you knew you should. Unrepentant sin is death. To not change that, say, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. When I know I'm supposed to do it, I'm going to do it, because to not is to turn against God and to be a traitor and to crucify Christ again. This is so earth-shattering. You know, I've read this multiple times and it didn't really hit me that way. As I'm going through the commentary, came across a brilliant commentary that really broke down these, 15, 16 words. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, him and his sin. Well, that just raises the standard in all of our lives, doesn't it? It's no longer what you do, it's what you don't do. All right, let's go to the Lord's Supper. This is for baptized believers. Go ahead and close your eyes. Today, we are honoring the standard that was raised today. Today, we repent for the sins that we've committed. The sins we committed because we omitted the action. We failed to act. Kindness we should have shown in our lives. The forgiveness we are commanded to give. So now, I want us to remember what Jesus did, what he paid for us, how he suffered, how he lived, how he died, how he rose again from the cross victorious. Now I want you to bring all your sin, the last time you've done communion. Repent and now look back with fresh eyes after hearing the message today, being convicted by the word and the Holy Spirit, the things you didn't do. Repent to those and bring him to his feet. Renew your commitment to Christ. Say, next time I will act. Next time I will, Lord. Send me. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Go ahead and eat. And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Go ahead and drink. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, for you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your creation. Guide us, Lord, to worship you and not your creation. Lord, help us to not be like our forefather Adam, worship your creation instead of you. Lord, convict us in our hearts and lead us to act when we should. Lord, help us to not chase after and envy and hate and murder our brothers in our hearts and sisters in our hearts for things that don't matter. Help us to always put you first in our life. Lord, I pray a prayer of protection over this congregation, this fellowship, over the persecuted church all around the world, over our troops overseas, our first responders at home, our veterans of yesteryear. Lord, I pray for your protection against World War III and Civil War here in America. And I pray that America would turn from her sin, hit her knees, repent, and seek your face, that you would see her and heal her, and make her once again one nation under God, indivisible, liberty, justice, all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless.
Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in today's Spiritual Vanguard on Christian Warrior Talk, presented by Christian Warrior Mission. As we've united in prayer, let's hold fast to the truth in Nehemiah 4:14. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Until next time, let's keep a humble and grateful heart, deliberately pursue our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and equip ourselves with the full armor of God. You're not walking this path alone. Lock shields with us, and together we will hold the line. May God bless you all.